From the WLRN newsroom, I'm Farrar Hutkins. For a long time, it was much easier for Cubans to migrate to the U.S. than other immigrants. United States foreign policy was set up to give haven to people fleeing communism in our backyard. But that special status is rapidly changing. WLRN's Danny Rivero explains why.
For more than two decades, Cuban nationals have had many ways to immigrate to the U.S. They could come across the Mexican border, arrive by plane, or come by boat. And as long as they set one foot on solid ground, even just a patch of sand, they would automatically be able to stay. That was the wet foot, dry foot policy. Ever since President Obama ended wet foot, dry foot in his final days in office, the reality for Cubans trying to migrate or stay in the U.S. has dramatically changed. The end of wet foot, dry foot is the first of three big reasons Cubans are finding themselves caught up in the immigration system like never before.
And subject to monitoring at any time.
When I first talked to Jesus Avila last year, he was in immigration detention in Key West.
They're ruining people's lives, especially people that don't have any open warrants, anything.
Avila came to the United States from Cuba when he was 8 years old. He lived in New Jersey before moving to Miami and works in the construction business. He's a permanent resident, but he never took the time to get his full citizenship.
I love this country, I would die for this country even though I'm not a citizen, but this is not right.
The problem started when Avila got married and went on a honeymoon to the Dominican Republic. When he came back into the country, immigration officials asked about a drug possession charge he had from 2012. Now, Avila was facing the prospect of getting deported back to Cuba.
I speak better English than Spanish. I know more about freaking the United States than I do of Cuba. I don't know anything about Cuba. I don't have family in Cuba. I don't know anybody in Cuba.
Last year, 463 people were deported to Cuba. Just 2 years earlier, there were 64. That's more than a 700% increase. Santiago Alpizar is a Cuban-American attorney who handles Cuban deportation cases all the time.
I believe there are more now Cubans in detention facilities than any other time that I remember of. And the reason vary from illegal entry on the border or for people who in the past commit crimes, leave the country and try to re-enter without checking with a lawyer what the consequences of their traveling might bring.
The end of the wet foot, dry foot policy was the beginning of this shift. The second thing is that President Trump changed the guidelines for immigration enforcement. The Obama administration prioritized deporting undocumented immigrants who committed violent crimes. Then the Trump administration made everyone a priority, including Cubans with legal status who committed nonviolent crimes years ago. Overnight, Cubans were facing the same thing as many Mexicans, Salvadorans, and Haitians.
Cuba are treated as any other migrant from any other part of the world. The only thing that remains in play for Cuba is the Cuban Adjustment Act.
The Cuban Adjustment Act allows Cubans to apply for a green card after being in the U.S. for a year and a day. No other nationality gets that benefit. But the thing is, you have to arrive legally. And here is a kink in the system: the suspected sonic attacks that have rocked the American embassy in Havana. The American embassy has basically shut down, which has made it almost impossible for Cubans on the island to get a visa and legally enter the U.S. It ultimately means it's gotten a lot harder for Cubans to immigrate here. That's a big jolt for a group that once had special privileges getting into the United States. Serafin Moran is an independent Cuban journalist who was kidnapped and jailed by the Cuban government because of his reporting, he says. He fled the country, and last year he made his way to the U.S.-Mexican border. When he applied for asylum, he was detained by ICE in Texas for 7 months. Moran says the hardest thing was not being able to see the sun and that he thought the process was going to be much quicker. He got legal assistance from the nonprofit Reporters Without Borders and other groups, and Moran was granted asylum and released a few months ago. He's living in a refugee shelter in Austin, Texas, and hopes to make his way to Hialeah. Moran says his case would have been quick and easy if wet foot, dry foot was still in effect. Tatiana Silva is another attorney who handles Cuban immigration cases.
We would never hear of Cubans being, detained for a prolonged time or at all. And now it's something that's very common.
Silva says her Cuban clients are shocked when they get caught up in the immigration system. A lot of Cubans still feel like they're special cases. But Cubans getting detained and deported, is the new reality.
Before, Cubans were, even if they had a final order of deportation, they were not really taken, physically taken out of the country. Now that has changed. So you do hear things that you've never heard before, which is actual removal of Cubans to, you know, back to Cuba. I don't see the numbers coming down anytime soon unless something changes.
Jesus Avila is about to find out if he's going to get deported. He's the Cuban man who talked to me from the detention center in Key West.
I'll speak better English than Spanish.
He has a court hearing at Chrome Detention Center west of Miami. Only 7 people are allowed to watch the hearing. No recording is allowed in the courtroom. Avila is brought in sporting a light blue jumpsuit. He has tears streaming down his face. The judge mumbles a few words under his breath. At first, nobody understands what he's saying.
We didn't have any idea if he was going to get free, but he's out, and thank God. Everything is good. Everything went good.
Vianeth Avila is Jesus' wife. Outside the courtroom, Avila's family and friends are hugging each other.
This last month has been a nightmare.
The hearing was stunningly fast, no longer than 4 minutes, start to finish. A few weeks after he was released, Avila was home in Homestead, still shook up from the whole ordeal. In total, he was in immigration custody for 37 days.
Everybody was going crazy. They didn't know what was going to happen, if I was going to get deported, and God knows, anything could have happened. I was going to go to a country I don't remember.
He recounts the moment when he realized the judge was going to let him stay in the U.S.
I felt such a relief. I just started crying like a kid, crying and crying and crying. I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. My life was going to be back to normal. My mom was going to be okay. My wife is, you know, all that went through my mind. It was bad, man.
Avila says he was young and stupid to not have gotten his citizenship earlier.
I guess growing up in such a community that was all immigrants, I didn't feel the need to become a citizen. I was like, for what? It's not. I'm a resident. You know, what was the difference? I didn't see a difference.
Now he says he knows there's a difference, and he's taking his citizenship exam next week. I'm Danny Rivero in Miami.
This is WLRN News. I'm Farrah Hutkins.